Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Hope you all had a good weekend. We're going to start off the week right. We got a good show planned for you. Question of the Night, as always, is up on our Loveline IG page. And of course, Loveline, look, we know that there's a pandemic going on. So we're both trying to give you some entertainment, give you a little levity and some jokes, but, you know, keeping it serious as always as well. It's amazing to see how different countries and different local politicians are all seeing what's going on so differently. I was looking at the news and I was looking at how in Iceland, everyone there is able to get tested for the coronavirus. Everyone in Iceland. Now, Iceland's always ahead of the curve. They also have rules in place about a percentage of individuals for any company that are CEOs need to be dominated by female identified people. I mean, Iceland is really running their government in such a powerful, beautiful way. Imagine if here in the U.S., everyone had access to testing. Now, that's important because right now the U.S. is the leader in confirmation of corona positive testing. We don't even have all the tests out there for people to get, so the numbers are going to continue to rise. So again, as always, I've got to give you the conversation about social distancing. Again, physical distancing is what we want. Socialization can still happen. In fact, I want you to be making sure you're doing that, but please, please, please continue to separate yourselves from individuals. I've seen flyers going around where people are still putting together sex parties. Yes. Every city's public health department has said the same things over and over, which is that although the only body fluid you have to worry about for transmission is saliva, it's the touching and closeness that is keeping this thing getting passed around. So again, sexuality, it's quite different to not pass along touch or saliva. So please, masturbation, distance sexuality via phone, technology, whatever it is. People are getting really creative. Gay marriage, it's still happening. That's right. People are doing it in their apartments and on the street. I've seen some photos. It's actually kind of adorable. With the two individuals that are self-isolating together, want to get married, they're in the street. The person officiating the wedding is across the street. There's people watching. Also, some people are doing it from the comfort of their home. I mean, look, if I was wanting to get married, I would just wait till this thing is over. I don't know what the rush is, but for those that are feeling the need to do it right now in whatever way possible, I'm glad that they're honoring the self-isolating, the distance. God bless it. Also, a man tried dating via drone. Oh, yes. Scary, scary drones are being used in order to build love. This guy was doing it in New York City. Basically, he spotted a girl dancing on a rooftop, and he thought she was stunningly beautiful, so he busted out the old drone, taped a note to it with his phone number, flew it over to where she was dancing, and said that, it basically just said, text me, and he flew it over to her, and then she texted, and it's about, what is it, the two been texting now for about a week. So, you know, again, we're going old school. We're not going to be able to assess compatibility and chemistry in person in real time, so the affectional, sexual, physical stuff, we're going to have to delay that, but the emotional and social intimacy, checking in on that, still possible, so God bless them. Look, I saw pictures of people walking their dogs with drones. Like, whoever's got a drone, maybe you can still get them via the mail, you know, get one of those bad boys mailed to you. You can get a lot done that way, you know what I mean? But walking your dog, finding love. Look, it's old school, you know? We got to go back to the basics. Also, talking about some more positive things. Two men in Atlanta, they're part of something called Love Beyond Walls, and they're really there to support homeless individuals. They're setting up portable sinks because, again, what's going to stop the spread and help people stay healthy is soap and water, and that requires places to wash your hands, and not everyone has access to either. And so they're going around Atlanta placing portable sinks. I've seen some other people doing that here in LA, and I think that that's really important. So check in on groups like that. They're called Love Beyond Walls. That's absolutely beautiful. Now, sliding into some things that are unfortunate, I don't know if you guys are tracking everything going on in the news. Hopefully you're not, because again, mental health is taking a little bit of a break from that. But there are people that are licking things. A man is actually getting possibly indicted for saying he had corona and then licking some products at the store. He put on social media. I don't know why people are doing this or think it's funny. Also, a woman did a similar thing. She coughed on produce at a supermarket, and the supermarket had to clear out all the produce, clean the area down, and they're saying it's $35,000 worth of damage. $35,000, because this jerk thought it was funny to cough on produce. How is that funny? There are people that are starving. There are people in line to get access to food, and you're coughing on it, and you think that's funny? Like, that's where we're at right now, folks. People still aren't taking this seriously. There are people dying. Hundreds of people dying. This is ridiculous. Sticking with the ridiculousness of that, anti-gay university, Liberty University, is telling their students, and I quote, "Don't worry about coronavirus. Come on back to school." They're breaking the law in doing this. But 5,000 students are going to be coming back to campus in a few days, even though the governor, they're located in Virginia, ordered that all state schools shut down for the remainder of the year. Basically, their officials are saying that we're not shutting down, and they're saying God's got our back. This is breaking my heart. I'm rolling my eyes. Some other religious ridiculousness. Donald Trump's Bible study leader, oh yeah, he's got a Bible study leader, claims that coronavirus is God's wrath for lesbianism and homosexuality. That's right. For the first time in 100 years, the U.S. cabinet has a Bible study group. God bless it. And they're also not following the rules. But more importantly, they're blaming gays and lesbians for coronavirus. They think that it's something that's here to kind of clean it all out, balance it all out. I'm telling you, the ridiculousness of some of the religiosity and what's coming out of it is mind-boggling, because there's a lot of people with their hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, wide congregations, they're still running services. It's absolutely breaking my heart, because this is how these things keep getting passed around. Okay, y'all, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, though, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to be talking about self-care, ways to start your day on a positive note. Because, again, mental health, it's just as important as physical health. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit about self-care. Now, before I even get into the steps I want you to take, I want to talk about why this is important. You know, again, we're talking a lot about our immune health, and we're talking a lot about trying to avoid getting into a collective trauma. We're not really sure what's going to come out of this length of time, and we're looking at some new syndromes that are developing, things that we don't have terms for, because this is something that is unprecedented for us. So we want to be doing all the things we can to really boost and support our mental health, because again, physical and mental health tie into each other. If you are stressing yourself out, raising cortisol levels, traumatizing yourself, or staying stuck and triggering trauma, you're not going to be at your best to possibly fight the virus. But more importantly, your mental health matters even outside of that. So a lot of people are starting their day already anxious and tense. They're ending their day that way. And we've talked a little bit in prior shows about, you know, better sleep hygiene. But I want to talk now about starting your day from a place of self-care. Because if you're starting your day already anxious and tense, you're moving into your day not from your best. And you don't want to be reaching for your phone or looking at the news immediately. We have to be taking time away. So what are the ways that we can start our day? Well, first off, asking yourself in the morning, what am I grateful for? That's right. I'm asking you guys to start your day with a gratitude list. I want you to frame it in positivity so that your body is relaxing. Because whatever you're going to encounter for the rest of your day is possibly going to be a lot of triggers around stress. So we're trying to take moments away from that as much as possible. So starting your day by saying, what am I grateful for, is a really beautiful way to check in on ourselves, right? Look at all the positive things that are still occurring, because even when things are not at their best, there are still some positive, grateful-based things that are, you know, around us. So it's all about the direction you're looking in. Second, who am I checking in with, or what kind of connections am I going to make today? Because again, we're doing that for us and we're doing that for other people. Social engagement is how we co-regulate ourselves and other people. Maybe we're reaching out to others for them, maybe it's for us, but it's going to help us deal with our loneliness, because that's what's going to start to happen. Even if you're self-isolating with other people, it's not necessarily going to have the same beneficial impact as it will reaching out to others. Reaching out to others is about distraction. It's about self-soothing. It's about finding joy. It's about finding humor. But really monitor and set boundaries around the conversations you're having, because reaching out and connecting with others isn't about bringing more stress by processing endlessly what they're struggling with, what you're struggling with. But there is a place for that. I do want us to be checking in on our mental health and others' mental health. But again, to an extent, it shouldn't be a flooding of that. Okay, so know that although we're taking everything seriously, it's okay to find some joy. So we're doing, what are we grateful for? We're checking in and saying, who are we connecting with? Also, what expectations are we letting go of around what we're wanting from our day or the normality of our day? Because our days have to be allowed to be different. We can't expect our days to be the same way they are on a traditional Monday or a traditional Tuesday. Things are different. And we don't want to add the stress of the fact that we don't have the normalcy that we're familiar with. So again, we're letting go of the expectations of how our days are going to be. We're giving ourselves a little more room to eat some things we're not comfortable with, to take more naps, and again, setting more boundaries. Maybe the day won't be as productive as we had thought it was. Again, we're not using words like laziness. We're letting ourselves have the kind of day that we need to have. I don't want us to be so obsessed with tying our worth and our value to productivity. So again, we're letting go of the expectations of normal. Also, you're going to ask yourself, how am I getting outside today? We want to be focusing on getting sunlight and fresh air. That will help our body. That will help our psyche. That will also help our immune system. And that will also help us with not feeling so cramped, compartmentalized, and lonely. Getting outside, we're staying away from others, but we're getting fresh air and sunlight, that vitamin D. That's really, really important. All the experts agree that we have to keep social distancing, but we're allowed to still go outside. So I build that in myself. When I'm still taking my client calls and I'm doing phone sessions or Skype sessions, I'm still using the fresh air. I'm using it as a time to take a walk. I'm making sure I'm starting my day with a walk, and I'm often ending my day with a walk. It reminds us that the world exists. It's helpful to still see other people walk by. And when I'm seeing others, I'm keeping a distance, but I'm smiling at them, right? I'm allowing some joy. I'm allowing us to recognize that other people are in this with us. And that's what helps when we see others outside. And then finally, we're also asking ourselves, how am I going to move my body? Because again, you might not be doing all those home workouts that everyone's talking about and posting, but you still need to focus on movement. It's good for your mind. It's good for your body. It's good for your immune system. Any kind of movement, movement around your place, stretching, do the gym workouts, again, going out for walks and getting fresh air. It doesn't matter what form it takes, but we have to make sure we're moving our bodies. Because again, all of these things matter. And then finally, the nutritious foods. Again, snack. It can be an acceptable coping mechanism, but we want to make sure we're centering our day with nutritious food. So again, the self-care checklist is, what am I grateful for today? We're starting our day with a gratitude list. What connections am I going to make today? Because I'm making sure I'm every day reaching out to other individuals, okay? And we're using the phones in ways so we can hear them and see them. What expectations of normal am I letting go of? Because our day will not be the normal standard day and we're not using words like laziness. How am I going to get outside? How am I going to move my body? And how am I going to focus on some nutritious foods? We're trying to get access to them as much as possible. I know not everyone has access because of food deserts to all the healthy foods, but we want to do our best because right now, again, these things are really imperative for our mental health and our physical health and looking at our immune system. So, you know, again, not everything's going to be as ideal. This isn't going to be forever, but the better we can be about all this, the shorter all this has to be. So focus on all that. Question of the night, it's up on our Loveline IG page. Also, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
Now we're going to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. All right, here we go. Oh, I like this one. Direct and to the point. As a sex therapist, Dr. Chris, do you feel pressured to always please your partners? Now, I appreciate that you put it plural, partners. No funnies. Okay, no one in the studio laughs tonight. Very stiff. I was calling myself a slut, but no one laughs. No, I don't. It's because I'm a sex therapist that I actually don't feel pressured to do anything or to please anyone. It's because of the work I do that I'm aware of the fact that sex won't always go as planned. That's okay. That there's multiple ways to have hot sex, fun sex. Also, when things don't go the way I want because maybe my erections aren't functioning, I'm not maybe getting hard or staying hard when and how I want, I'm okay with that. I roll with that. I understand that I have a tongue, I have fingers, there's toys, that sexuality is fluid and diversified. So I'm actually really empowered and I go in with no expectations. Anytime I'm with a new sex partner, I think, who are they? What are they going to want? What are we going to co-create? There's no right way for everyone. And so I kind of see where we go and I'm open to the journey and I have no expectations.
I also don't feel like pressure to continue through with sex that feels disconnected at some point, or if my mind changes. So no, I don't feel any pressure at all. I think if anything, some people feel pressured having sex with me because they somehow think I'm going to analyze or track, and it's quite the opposite. I'm in my body. I'm out of my head. I'm not focusing on performance. I'm just in the moment trying to connect and enjoy this person. And I hold a lot of space for a lot of, I don't know, mess ups and foul ups and disappointments that other people might not be so cool about. So I don't know. Y'all have sex with me. It's good stuff. You know what I mean? Is that the bottom line? Is that the bottom line here?
Yeah.
Me in this Uber pool. I'm going to be in the Uber pool trying to find love and dating, apparently. Thanks, Steven. Like that little gem. All right. We got another question. Hey, Dr. Chris. What did we decide MM was again? M-E-Q? Married man. That's right. Hey, Dr. Chris, my married man. Someone did a little acronym MM. I didn't know that one yet. My married man and I were friends for several years and ended up in the same city for work. I love when they do qualifiers like only. You're trying to already like make something okay. He was only engaged at the time, but not married yet. Things went a lot farther than they should have. But again, he was only engaged, not married, you say. And we've been having a full-blown love affair for over a year. 2 weeks ago, he called me 7 times and said he had something important he wanted to tell me. But I've been ignoring him in fear of the worst. Oh, I understand. Found out that his wife is pregnant today. I've decided to end things for good. My question is, what to do with the guilt? Does it go away eventually? Oh, interesting. Well, look. Engaging people that are in committed relationships or whatnot is not kind. It's not a good move. Don't make that a habit. However, mistakes happen, and the goal is to always learn from them. And I'm open to transformation and change and shift. You know, we can't cancel people when they let us down. We can't vote people off the planet because they've disappointed us. People have to be allowed to have accountability and apologize. So that's kind of my answer. If you're open to, and again, you're not necessarily going to be able to do this with this man and his wife, but you can do this work with yourself. If you're willing to take responsibility for what you did, acknowledge that it wasn't okay, and you're open to making sure it doesn't happen again, let it go. I give you permission to just release it and let it go. Sometimes guilt's carried forward because maybe we're not doing that work. And so maybe check in with yourself. Are you still thinking something like that's okay? Because you did rationalize it by saying he was only engaged, not married, right? So you're kind of already trying to still make it okay. So do the work to realize it's not okay and set the things in place to make sure you don't do it again. And that will help kind of relieve the guilt. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
So right now we're going to be talking with Megan Hallbrook, infectious disease epidemiologist. Welcome to the show, Megan. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. What can you give us in terms of an update around what's going on right now in the medical industry as well as the pandemic?
Well, right now in the U.S., it's a really critical time for the coronavirus spread. And I think we're going to see a big uptick in cases in cities where there already are cases and in new cities where there maybe haven't been cases yet. And so with regards to mental health, I think just preparing yourself to see cases grow, not necessarily watching the ticker as it increases, and just know it's going to spread because, as we know, we're sort of on a 14-day lag due to the incubation period. And just continuing social distancing practices to help mitigate the future, right? What we do today impacts our 2-week period forward. And in the medical realm, right now, there's five randomized controlled trials happening on the drug remdesivir. There's some others happening on another drug, chloroquine. And right now, it's just the science is ongoing, but most of the medical realm is around mitigating and treating patients.
Yeah, and epidemiology is, you know, one of the most powerful, important benchmarks of public health. And so I'm appreciative for everything that you all are doing. It has to frustrate you as much as it does for me to see people that are still socializing, especially when we look at the spring break pictures and all of that.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. I think you have to take fast action with a pandemic. There's no way to really tackle it other than to just do it all together at once. And I think it's a failure of community and a failure of messaging that we haven't as a nation been able to do something together to fight this. And the people who are going to suffer most are the people who are most at risk. You know, it's not necessarily the individuals who are going outside.
Yeah, it's disappointing because I'm looking at some of the local governments that still haven't necessarily stepped in to impose some of this. And I think one of the fears that I had, and I'm seeing some people start to talk about this, is that there's a lot of people that have spiked anxiety around this and are constantly tracking all the updated news. But then there's the other sector, which is the individuals where this is something that's not taken seriously, or it's kind of becoming normalized. Yeah. And so they don't have the necessary anxiety to be taking the precautions we're talking about. Yes.
Yes, exactly. You want to have the right amount of anxiety.
And that's what I'm trying to instill. That's why I'm trying to walk the line of, you know, using my social media to both make people laugh and bring some levity, but also like drive home that like the numbers are spiking. I mean, I was just looking at some of the stats today that was talking about the length of time that the virus can live on different surfaces. And it was saying, and weigh in on this, please, that possibly in the air for up to 3 hours.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of studies, and there's actually, I'm at UCLA, and there was a study by Dr. Jamie Lloyd-Smith that was done recently that caused a big stir about whether it can live on surfaces for, you know, I read it was 14 hours or was it, you know, 3 days. And I think the way that the studies are constructed really plays a role in the results that we see. And I think you could really focus on windows and, you know, time windows and lengths of duration, but I think from a scientific perspective that's really interesting, but from an individual kind of regular person perspective, I don't think serve much of a purpose. You want to wash your hands frequently, you want to disinfect your house, make it every day. You know, you don't need to set an alarm for a period of time based on a study that you read. You know, we could talk about the virology, you know, if we wanted to, but I don't think that's necessarily a good thing for everyone to be focusing on. But yeah, I heard that it can, there's was a study in China that I read about that it can travel more than 6 feet. It was 14 feet, but there's obviously limitations in how that study was created. So during a pandemic, we can't replicate true research, specifications, right? We're doing the best we can in kind of a emergency situation, with the exception of a randomized controlled trial. A lot of these studies have big caveats, come with a lot of asterisks. And so, you know, you want to take everything now with a grain of salt.
Hold it
and
loosely.
Wait for the science.
That's right. Hold it loosely and consider the source. Megan, we have some tweets that I'd like you to answer with me. One of the tweets that came in, and for those that are just joining us, if you want to join the conversation or send in a question, you can do so at #I'm listening. And right now we're talking with Megan Holbrook, infectious disease epidemiologist. Megan, one of the tweets that came in says, how long are we going to be quarantined for realistically? Is this something that could last a month or more?
Yeah. So first thing I want to state is that I want to get the language right. Quarantine is maybe a word you should use if you're sick and you really need to be stringent about your separation from other people. Maybe you need to be in another room in your house away from your family members. What most of us are doing, I would consider social isolation. It's not mandated by a government per se, right, that we stay in the bounds of a space. So, but to be socially isolated, I've been telling my friends and family to mentally prepare for six to eight of those, the way we are now. Everything, you know, it depends, right? The more we flatten the curve, the better we do for our community, but the longer we extend it, right? Because the curve, we're extending it outwards like this. But I'm ready to do this for 6 weeks. I've come up with systems that I feel like I can live with for that amount of time. And, you know, as things go on, you'll have to revisit it. But for now, that would be my guess.
Okay, beautiful. We have another tweet. This tweet came in and asks, I'm really worried that COVID-19 could spread through the water systems. Is that possible? Should I only be drinking bottled water? Could it be in the water that we use for washing our hands or showering?
So, interesting question. With SARS, which is another coronavirus, a pandemic potential, it's called fecal oral transmission, which is kind of what you get if you get salmonella from not washing your hands correctly. And there was transmission that way, but there has not been evidence of fecal oral transmission that could be through a water or food for the COVID-19. So I would say right now, not necessary.
Okay, beautiful. And we have one final tweet for you, Megan. Should I be cleaning all the packaging of my groceries? Can the virus spread to me easily if I don't sanitize anything that may have come in contact with the virus?
So, great question. I've been talking a lot about this with my family, especially from boxes. If you're ordering from Amazon, a study came out about cardboard versus tabletops, etc. There is a possibility that if you were in the store and someone coughed on their hand and then touched a can and you shortly after grabbed that can, that could be a transmission vector. So, you know, if it's no skin off your back, wipe down the stuff you get from the store, wash your fruits and vegetables. But the primary mode of transmission is coughing, is aerosolized droplets, and it's happening between close household contacts. So, you know, it is a possibility scientifically, but it is not how the most of the transmission is happening.
Beautiful. Megan Holbrook, thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Have a beautiful night.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
A lot of us are talking about insomnia. I know that I myself am sitting there late at night after a long day, struggling to fall asleep, talking to my clients clinically. I'm also encountering their own struggles around that. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. You know, right now with the collective stress that we're all going through, sleep is going to be one of the most important ways and one of the best ways to actually boost your immune system. Sleep has a really important component that helps us drop cortisol levels, which is one of the most powerfully destructive stress hormones, and helps us boost and helps our immune system simmer down and calm down. So we really do want to be taking our sleep patterns seriously. Now, some people are talking about taking sleeping pills and other methods of falling asleep, and you want to understand that natural sleep requires melatonin to fall asleep and GABA to stay asleep, and things like sleeping pills don't allow us to fall asleep and stay asleep in the same ways that natural sleep cycles do. So let's talk about some of the ways that we can work on what we call our sleep hygiene. One of the first ones is we want to limit alcohol. Alcohol is a central nervous depressant, so it might help you fall asleep, but it won't help you stay asleep, nor will it give you a restful night's sleep. We also want to limit our exposure to really triggering news and conversations. So again, we talk about taking a break from looking at technology or the news or things that are going to really, really stimulate your nervous system and not allow you to really fall asleep. And also naps. Now, naps are important throughout the day, but you want to limit them. And you also want to limit them to about 30 minutes and really not have any naps happening close to your bedtime. So what are some of the positive things we can do? Well, it's imperative that you go to sleep and wake up at the same time every day. And I know that that's difficult. We have this thing called time creep. And that's this sense of what time is it? What day is it? And everything throws off our system and the structure that we're used to, but it's imperative. So I'm making sure that I'm going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time. Also, limiting electronic use in the bedroom. Leave your electronics outside of the bedroom. Make sure that about an hour before you go to sleep, you've turned off the computer, the television, and stayed off your cell phone, because that's another natural way that you're going to really be able to fall asleep. And also paying attention to your anxiety levels. If you're feeling as though you're worrying and stress is spiking before you fall asleep, there's a lot of things we can do, such as really engaging in fun, humorous, joyful conversation. I myself have been doing gratitude lists. That's a really good way to kind of set the tone to fall asleep and to be able to stay asleep. So really work on that. Well, that's one of the things that I'm talking to my clients about. Now, quickly, in addition to that, I want to just take a moment to talk a little bit about social distancing, because I'm still noticing and talking to my patients about making sure that although they're feeling as though they want to be available to loved ones and family members and friends that are far, that you still utilize only technology as ways to stay connected. Because as I'm looking out my window, I'm still seeing groups of people congregating and also hearing conversations of people still getting together for pizza night or movie night. And again, that's not going to help us with trying to flatten the curve. Now, again, I myself have a mother that is of high risk. She's over 65. She has emphysema. And so again, the social distancing is not always about our own health. It's about the impact that we're going to have on other people. So we need to really develop what we call more of a collective consciousness. And that means really looking at the impact our individual decisions are going to have on the multitudes around us. So please take that into consideration. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, it's that time of the night. A little DM action. Slide into them.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore confidence. All right, here we go. We got a little baby question over here. Let's start with this one. Hey, Dr. Chris, I keep seeing on my timeline people sharing a post that says it's not about homosexuality or heterosexuality.
It's about promoting sexuality, period. Let kids be kids. And so many people feel this way. Can you explain why this thinking is problematic? I have to like wrap my head around what you're saying here somehow. Like I'm reading it a couple times. I'm still not clear. I haven't seen this post. So I'm going to reread again what the post says. It's not about homosexuality or heterosexuality. It's about promoting sexuality, period. Let kids be kids. I'm not really sure what you're asking or what the struggle is, but let me say it like this. Sexuality does exist for kids. There are erections shown in utero. You can derive pleasure from touching your sexual anatomy from birth. Sexuality exists through our lifespan. I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging the sexuality of children. I think it's okay to talk to kids about people dating same sex, opposite sex, talking about the correct terminology for their bodies and talking about the fact that, yeah, touching your body sometimes derives pleasure for you. And so I'm assuming you're talking about the hypersexualization of children. I don't really know. So that's my answer. All right, moving on to the next one. Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm asking this at midnight on a Saturday, so who knows if you'll ever see it or answer it, but I need your advice. I like those questions. My boyfriend and I worked together at a restaurant. A guy got hired that I hooked up with 7 years ago in high school. He's now my best friend's baby daddy. My boyfriend knows we hooked up because it's a small town. Yikes. And he was asking about him. And he was saying it'll be weird working with him because our girls are best friends. And I said, oh, you guys might actually even get along because he's pretty cool. And then World War III. He said, I'm disrespectful. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't say that someone I hooked up with is cool. It's so messed up. He said he can't get past how disrespectful I am. Should I apologize and stop the argument? I didn't say he was hot or amazing in bed or anything like that. Something wrong with me for being stubborn and not apologizing for someone I hooked up with 7 years ago. Oh my gosh, you guys. This is one of those ones. 7 years ago, you hooked up with someone and you are currently with someone and all's well and you love each other and trust each other and this other person has a girlfriend and a child and they're a threat? Listen, we got to let go of the idea that it should be triggering that people have a sexual history prior to meeting us. Everyone does, generally. It's part of sexual development. It's acceptable. If someone says that they're cool and you might get along, that's an even more powerful sign that all's well and that we can all be friends. My God. Yeah, be friends with this person. I don't think it's disrespectful. Look. Intent and impact both matter. So although there's nothing wrong with the concept, your boyfriend's feelings were hurt, attend to that part. Hey, I'm sorry that what I said hurt your feelings. I really care about you. I love you. I don't like knowing that you're hurt. And what I said, I actually stand behind. I still think it's okay for me to acknowledge that the person I hooked up with 8 years ago, 7 years ago, who's not a threat because we love each other and all's well, that you guys might get along and you might be able to be friends. Like, I actually like the concept of people being friends with other people's exes or hookups. Like, oof, especially if you live in a small town. But you can still tend to his feelings, right? The intent was good, but the impact was his feelings were hurt. You can kind of hold both. All right. Sliding CDMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. And we want you to explore with confidence. Well, y'all, that's our show. Thanks for hanging out with me. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Guys, have an awesome night. See you tomorrow.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.